Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana, welcomes you to the marrow of the message, a summary of the message preached on September 9th, 2012. The title of the message is, The Sovereign King Bids Us Come. At the fall, in the garden, the road to the throne of God, the road to the presence of God that Adam had enjoyed, was heaved. Prior to sin, prior to the fall, Adam communicated with God. He had fellowship with God. It says God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day, and you get the idea that Adam lived in full light of the presence of God. Because after the fall, God went searching out Adam, seeking him, although he knew where he was. He says, Adam, where are you? Adam had disappeared. It was as if Adam no longer knew God, which in many respects that's true. He didn't. His eyes were open, and he was guilty of sin and sensed the condemnation. But at the fall, the road was broken, that road to the throne of God, the presence of God. It was destroyed. The way became infinitely more terrible than the most stormy sea would be for the most sturdy of ships to traverse. Mankind plunged into utter darkness. Darkness of heart. Futility of mind. Death to God. Sin opened a great chasm between God and man. And I know each one of you have experienced a sense of that chasm. Especially before you came to Christ. You were made aware of it. You were convicted of sin. You saw Jesus. But this chasm was impossible to cross apart from faith in Christ. It's impossible for any man except Christ to span. God, though, and this is the good news of the gospel. This is the gospel from Genesis chapter 3, 15 onward. God would not forsake his own. God would not forsake his elect, who also were dead in trespasses and sins. The elect of God lived in darkness from the time of Adam to this very day. And God sent his Son into the world at the proper time, born of a woman. He sent him to seek and save that which was lost. And it may be hard to accept it, but the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that God's people were dead in trespasses and sins, his chosen ones. And Christ came to save through his death and to turn away God's wrath from his own, from his chosen ones, and thereby satisfying the justice of God. Through Christ, the way to the holies of God, to the presence of God, was opened once more by grace through faith. The sea was calm, the road made new. Darkness became light. We have to remember, when Christ came and he died on the cross, he provided for us forgiveness of sins. But when he raised from the dead, he just marked the work of justification that God had provided a righteous requirement in the person of Christ, fulfilled in Christ. And through that justification, the way to God was open. And it was open through Christ. And it was an invitation by God the Father to come. Come. And now through Christ, the throne no longer stands in judgment against us, but has become by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, the throne has become for us the fountainhead of grace, the fountainhead of mercy. Through faith in Christ and because of his merits, we are invited as the blood-bought children of God to boldly approach the throne of grace. The Sovereign King bids us come. And until we see him, until we look upon the face of Jesus Christ, until we see him in his presence without any hindrance, where faith is now sight, this day will come. But until then, we come to him having been reconciled to God through his blood. We come to him by means of prayer. And I think prayer may be best described as coming to God. God bids us come. God bids us come. So prayer is coming into the presence of God. We could say it's communicating with God. This is true. And when our hearts expand with hope, we find ourselves so often praising Him out of the overflow of our heart. We thank Him. We adore Him. This is prayer. When the Spirit and the Word reveal God's displeasure with our attitudes and or actions, we find ourselves confessing our sins, agreeing with God that He's right. And when we confess our sins, we're cleansed. This is through prayer. Confession of sin. When we're humbled in heart, and when we seek grace, when we seek help, when we seek mercy and relief for ourselves or for someone else, we're praying on our behalf. We call it intercessory prayer or prayers of supplication when we pray for ourselves. We pray on behalf of others. That's prayer. That's coming into His presence. This is prayer. Come, responding to His offer, His invitation to come. He bids us come. I think prayer, we would all agree, at least for most of us, is difficult. Why? I think one of the first reasons is God is unseen. It's by faith that we have to pray. This is a gift from God. If there's a prayer to pray for more grace, it's give me more grace to pray. But there's other reasons, very practical reasons, why the flesh, that old living remnant of our old sinful nature still residing in us, hates prayer, hates God, will always hate God, will rebel against God, even to hell. The world hates God. The world in every way, every social structure devised by men, stand opposed to God. The devil, that ancient deceiver and tormentor of the brethren, would love nothing more than to distract us. And the world, of course, provides distractions. The flesh is quick to take hold of distractions. Yet as difficult as prayer can be, the Spirit living in us is constantly drawing us to pray. We're talking about prayer, and you're listening to this message about prayer, and you're still involved in it, hearing, because the Spirit is drawing you to the throne of grace even now. Come. Come to Him now. Pray. Let your heart open up. You may not say words right now, but come to Him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55:1, listen, this is the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, come, all you who are thirsty, come, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Do you have a bankrupt prayer life? Would you say that your prayer life is non-existent, you're poor? Come, come. He gives, He bids you come, and He gives the grace needed that you might pray. Pray in the hour of temptation. Pray when trials come upon you. Pray when your heart is happy. I think prayer is the most decisive declaration of repentance from our old love of the world, of the flesh, and the devil that God has given us. Prayer is the most decisive declaration of dependence on God. Instead of falling upon self, and instead of falling upon systems of men, and instead of being deceived by Satan, instead we approach God's throne through faith. Prayer is a decisive action of taking captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Prayer is that action or the first step in making our bodies slaves to Christ. Making it pray. Making our body stop activity long enough to pray. Of course you can pray when you're driving, when you're walking, when you're running, when you're eating, when you're moving about, when you're doing different things, even when you're watching TV. But when you make your body a slave to Christ and you set yourself down, you open your Bible and you set yourself before God and you say, I come by faith. I come, Lord, search my heart. Help me. Help me to pray. Let me worship You. Let me enjoy You. Prayer is a decisive action where we make our bodies slaves to Christ. Prayer turns our eyes outward and upward, out of ourselves. Prayer opens the heart to God. And God then fortifies the heart so that we may behold His glory through faith in Jesus. By taking hold of His power through prayer, by trusting Him as the Spirit works in our life to resist sin. And we would take hold of His power toward obedience. And we would take hold of His power toward more love for Him. Prayer is our entrance into the holies of God. The holy place, the most holy place. It's here where we come under the ministry of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are great verses concerning our great high priest and the ministry that he provides for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It's worth taking the time to read it. It says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Prayer allows us to come under the direct ministry of our great high priest who intercedes always. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says this. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not man. Jesus Christ as our high priest serves right now on our behalf. Come to him. The king bids us come. Let's come. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, how do we... Our confidence is through the blood of Jesus. Our confidence lies not in of ourselves, but in the blood of Christ. Since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. His body rent. His body... He bore sin in His body on the cross. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Listen, friends, we come before Him in every way. We come in our minds, we come with Him and with our hearts open to Him, and we come to Him with our bodies, our whole being. Prayer involves all of you. And that's why this prayer, coming to Him, is a very sacred time, a very important time, a very necessary time in the sanctification of the Christian. And when He bids us come, He comes that we might fellowship with Him by grace through faith in Christ and having a clear conscience. And prayer affords that opportunity that we might trust Him for the continuing forgiveness of sins. That we might trust Him for strength and grace and mercy. It's because of Christ and His work as a high priest, which is a mediational work. This mediational work of His is that He stood in our place as priest and as sacrifice. And because of this, that He is the priest and the sacrifice, that we come to Him. And we come confidently as He bids us come. The King of heaven and earth, the Sovereign of the universe, bids us come through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we should pray, and we should pray all kinds of prayers. Prayer can oftentimes be difficult. We wonder, what should I pray? Well, I think, one, we can pray prayers that are easier for us to comprehend. Praying prayers that are in accord with God's revealed will in the Scriptures, with His promises, and with His commands. This is biblical and scriptural prayer. A good example of that, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but I would encourage you to read it if you can stop the message right now and read Acts chapter 4, verses 24, where the quote begins with, Sovereign Lord. They're praying to the sovereign Lord at verse 24 through 30. It's a good example. They knew what the command of the Lord was, and that was to go and preach the gospel to all people. Yet they were being opposed, and so they go to the sovereign Lord because Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And they say, "Sovereign Lord, you see their threats, you hear what they're saying, but give your servants boldness to go preach." That is a great prayer, a good example of what it praying according to the will of God. But what about those prayers we pray that are not for things that are not directly revealed in Scripture? We must apply Scripture principles where God has clearly made known certain activities and certain behaviors are immoral. We need not pray for permission to disobey God. It's wise to apply the principles of Scripture. It's wise to have the Spirit examine your motives as you pray. Should I take this job or that job? Move here or move there? Why? Why? What are your motives? Let the Spirit search your heart. Pray prayers. Oh, search my heart. As Psalm 139 at the end of that great psalm encourages us. And then yield yourself to His wisdom and way. Yield yourself. Wait. Trust in His providence. And when it happens, give thanks to Him. If the answer is no, you're turned down for that promotion, give thanks to the Lord. Or if you move, give thanks to the Lord. The King bids us come. Come recognizing the body and blood of Christ. When you come to Him, when you come in Jesus' name and you pray in Jesus' name, that means not necessarily tag every prayer with the ending in Jesus' name. It means come in Jesus' name, recognizing the body and blood of Christ. Come having been cleansed by that blood, consciously aware, thanking God for the cleansing. Come confessing all known sinful attitudes and actions. And if you have to come to Him confessing a billion times a day, come confessing a billion times a day, He forgives sin. Come, clear any debts that you may hold against someone else where there's unforgiveness. Forgive. Reference Mark 11:25 if you want to read a good verse, what Jesus had to say about this. Forgive those who have offended you, who owe you a debt. Forgive them so your Father in heaven may forgive. And in closing, come, trust in God's time. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, you can read these for yourself. Even the martyrs under the altar were told to wait. And friends, if the martyrs who were desiring vengeance against those who had wreaked havoc against the church were told to wait, then why not I? And finally, come, even though God's answer runs contrary to your desire and request. I'll tease you with this and we'll close. I read a hymn by John Newton in the full message. And basically the hymn was, he was asking God for more grace, more power to live the Christian life, more humility and so on. And as the hymn goes on, John Newton just declares, but Lord, I didn't ask for you to make my life harder. It seemed as though it was through difficulty and through the hard trial that God answered his prayer. Would you be willing for God to answer your prayers in his way and in his time, knowing that God is too wise and too loving to err? Trust him now. May the Lord bless you and keep you.